In this episode, I speak with Dr. Karen Gelman and Dr. Judith Shoemaker about postural rehabilitation and why some horses respond well to intervention while others don't. So here we go, episode 249, Postural Rehabilitation. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Dr. Gelman has been on this podcast twice before, and this time she is joined by Dr. Judith Shoemaker. They are two-thirds of the postural rehabilitation team, and they each have decades of experience helping horses and now have joined forces to make their knowledge more accessible to others through their programs. So Dr. Karen Gelman is a holistic veterinarian and expert in the biomechanics of posture and locomotion in animals. She's a research director of Maximum Horsepower Research and practices holistic veterinary medicine in New York State and on a consulting basis. Since 2005, she has been teaching veterinarians, chiropractors, rehabilitators, farriers, dentists, and manual therapists about the critical importance of neutral posture for equine performance and wellness. Dr. Judith Shoemaker is a well-known veterinary practitioner and educator in integrative veterinary medicine and therapy. Dr. Shoemaker's 32 years experience in clinical practice focuses on holistic medicine and therapy, utilizing chiropractic, acupuncture, state-of-the-art dentistry and farriery, and multiple other complementary modalities. She's licensed in 16 states. She provides comprehensive maintenance, therapeutic management, and consultation for top competitors and companion animals in the U.S. and internationally. I first met Dr. Shoemaker in the mid to late 1990s. Her work at that point in my world was considered quite out of the box, but I watched her solve so many horse health problems, and she truly saved my horse, Vivaldi, by focusing on the root causes and by helping him find a more stable, neutral resting posture. Judith and Karen are a wealth of information. You may have to pause during this episode just to digest what they're saying. And before we begin, I always like to know who's talking. So the first person you're going to hear speak besides me is Dr. Karen Gelman. And then the next voice you're going to hear will be Dr. Judith Shoemaker. All right, here we go. All right, welcome, Dr. Karen Gelman and Dr. Judith Shoemaker. Thank you for being here on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having us, Karen.
And I know you guys are traveling. You're at a convention right now.
Yes, we're at the AAEP, which is the American Association of Equine Practitioners, here in beautiful Mile High, Denver, Colorado.
Oh, this is a wonderful city. I'm really enjoying it here. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. It's a little dry.
It is dry. I know.
But absolutely lovely. Very, awesome. Very pretty city.
Awesome. It was a little bumpy ride into the airport. Yeah. It's always bumpy coming into Denver.
I don't remember that.
Oh, that's good. Couldn't have been too bad. Well, I'm really excited to have you guys here. Dr. Karen Gelman, you've been on the podcast a couple times already to talk about postural rehabilitation and posture and dentistry. So I'm excited to have you back. And I feel really, really lucky to have Judith, you here also. Dr. Shoemaker, I met you. Never. Am I talking to you or talking to people? But back on Long Island in the 90s,
yes,
when you used to come out to Angribin's farm. And you are just one of those people in my life. It just totally changed the course of, I think, so many horses that I've touched and through my life. I mean, you saved my horse, Vivaldi, a.k.a. Bubba. And I will never look at a horse's body and especially their hooves again, because this horse I brought him to every fancy farrier at all the CDI shows and said, can you help me with his feet? And they just go, oh, he's got terrible feet. This is the best that can be done. And Judith, every time you saw me, you're like, we need to fix those feet. And I was a chicken until he was so lame that that was going to be it. And I brought him to you and I went, all right, I'm ready. Do what you want. And I dropped off a drove 4.5 hours, dropped off a horse who could barely walk. And I think a couple months later, I came to get him and he was galloping in the pasture as I drove down the driveway.
Yep, I was so thrilled. It's just, and it was all he wanted to do was be right.
Yes. And of course, like I, like so many people, we wait until it's almost too late and we've tried everything else because it sounds scary because everybody else around you says this is nuts. And I had so many fights with so many farriers after you, but
We're all veterans of the farrier wars. But it's getting better. It is getting better.
There's a lot
And
of good education now. the there is, there's a lot of good education available. There's a lot of accurate research. We didn't have any in the beginning. When I first started working with the concepts that I work with, it was absolutely impossible to find somebody to even look at what we were looking at and try to make a change. And I was very lucky to have a lot of good farrier friends who would be willing. They came to me with why, the hot problems behind and the difficulties with movement and locking stifles and things of that variety. And again, court of last resort, we made the changes. And the wonderful thing about this very simplified concept of appropriate support, it works almost immediately. Now, we were talking tonight about we're talking about why do some horses respond like this? Why do some horses respond instantaneously to an intervention? And why do some of them not? And this is where we want to talk about some of the other factors that can influence whether or not an animal can recalibrate, can go from so thoroughly compensated that they decompensate and actually create pathology, or that they can just return to normal and start to grow feet at the right angle and be able to move effectively and not slip when they're coming out of the indoor and that kind of thing. And this is a really important thing because we all put so much effort and love into our horses. And when we have all these hopes and people have told us, well, we can do this, we can do that, and it's surely going to make them better, and sometimes it doesn't. And that's very disturbing. We certainly have many examples of that. I had a very lovely Lusitano, beautifully bred horse that was extremely difficult to not have it stand good on a rock, and it was barefoot, and we got his toes back. And the first time I took the horse's toes back, the horse stood up much better. We had a much better posture, but then it stopped responding. Now, this horse had previously had an episode of extreme neurologic lameness, and it had been diagnosed as EPM because the horse tested positive for EPM on blood work. And that makes sense to me because I certainly find that animals that have EPM lesions, regrettably, I live close to Newbolt Center and have horses postmortem there because certain insurance policies will require it, and found in many of the horses that had EPM, that they had lesions in the areas where they had chiropractic instability. And this was when we have chiropractic instability or hypermobility caused by posture or caused by an accident or something of that variety. That's where the EPM that's in their bloodstream can cross the blood-brain barrier and get into the central nervous system, and therefore or cause neurologic signs like lack of extensors working, like losing muscle in the front of the leg, not being tripping, lots of these things that so there can be many diagnoses.
So it's really interesting that you're saying that, Judith. That's something that Steve Marsden, who is another very well-respected holistic vet in our field, talks about, especially with the chronic diseases like that. So that when you have a chronic neurological disorder, very often, even if there is an infectious process, it enters the body where there is an instability because that weakens the blood-brain barrier. So we're thinking about chronic Lyme, the EPM, and even he talks about this with respect to degenerative myelopathy in dogs, that you can have the genes for degenerative myelopathy, but the opportunity arises when the dog has an instability that is creating the weakness in the system.
And even things like endocrine disorders, where you have hypothyroidism, which slows down the myelination of nerves. And if you have a hypermobility, you may be damaging myelin sheath, and they can't heal quickly. Or you may be damaging, the epineurium and the dura, and they can't heal quickly because they don't have normal collagen contracture when they have hypothyroidism. So there's so many things that we can, that we can look at. And that's in when we, you went through this with your horse, we looked at a lot of stuff to try to determine what were all the contributing factors to this, horse's problems. And we took a while to outgrow them. That's the thing. We had to grow two sets of feet. We didn't just go with, oh, we put new shoes on, the horse had the base of balance that it was supposed to have, and we'd go down the road. And I said, no, we had to grow out. It takes 9 months to grow a whole hoof. So we had to grow out a hoof that was grown in reference to a different placement of the shoe. Then we had to grow out another hoof that was not under the influence of the distorted hoof that was still growing down. So it took us 18 months to get real feet that were growing in the direction of the ground surface we were working with.
So when we teach the PR to our practitioners, the vets and chiropractors, we teach them that 18 months is the time it takes for the horse to really be stable and self-maintaining. But you're going to see improvements very quickly. They're going to be so much more comfortable. They're going to be working so much better, be happier, performing better. But when you want to have that like, yeah, I'm good and I am what's the word where just like,
Self-maintaining. I'm in
yeah,
steady state. And
steady
that.
state self-maintaining, where it would take something really big to destabilize them.
And when we go back to, the Andalusian horse, we actually, I mean, that horse had been treated for had been treated for EPM and had gotten better. But ultimately it did pass away, and it had a massive, massive problem in its lower cervical. It was probably either an ECVM horse, equine complex vertebral malformation horse, which is very a little unusual in the breed, but also it had spinal cord damage, like the horse had spread eagled or done something where it landed on the base of its neck and just really tore its spinal cord apart. Now, how can horse, I mean, horses fall all the time and they don't tear their spinal cord apart. But there have to be an awful lot of factors in that so that number one, the horse fell in the first place. Number two, it could do that much damage in a fall.
But it's still amazing how well it got around,
Yes.
considering. I mean, we are the masters of compensation. Our spinal cord is so well protected. The critical things like the TMJ disc, you try to take out a TMJ disc, it is really hard. The things that are so critical for controlling our posture and locomotion are very well protected. And, things like the feet, those are the ones that take the brunt of the structural changes and distortions that living a modern life kind of brings to us.
And there are other things. I mean, we talk about in postural rehabilitation, the the simplest things that influence a horse's posture, which is its interaction with gravity. And if we didn't have gravity, we wouldn't have lameness because you can't get hurt if you don't have gravity.
Weight matters.
Yes, weight does matter. So the point being is we want to have a great interaction with gravity. We want to be able to not fall on our face. We want to be able to not misuse our limbs. We want to be able to hold our weight effectively. And that's with vertical legs. That's why the posts in your barn are vertical. They're not, you know, cantilevered. They'd have taken off a lot more strutting if they were cantilevered.
I mean, you can do anything to support it, but it's how much you have to do. You have a fancy table that has a pedestal like this. I mean, you're going to have to do all kinds of other struts to support it. The simplest way is to align your support with the direction of gravity, which is going to be towards the center of Earth.
Yeah. I want to jump in. You guys are awesome guests because I don't have to talk much at all, but there's so much stuff here. And I just wanted to
line this up and we'll keep talking.
Slow down because there's so much you're saying, but like the chiropractic stability, I think Karen, you had mentioned PR, which means postural rehabilitation.
Right, right.
You're like, that's, they have a amazing, very comprehensive course. And it's just, that's what you guys do is postural rehabilitation. And you've got a team to help with this. But Judith threw out the term goat on a rock. And now you're talking about like, neutral stance and gravity. So this is so important. And when I went through your postural rehabilitation course, like one of the most, I mean, there's so much in there, but one of the most impactful things is in the very beginning, and you're just showing image after image after image of wild horses and horses in nature and horses in all kinds of crazy terrain and big horses and little horses. And they're all standing with their legs, you know, straight and neutral to gravity, like you guys were just talking about.
But like if they're on a hill, they're perpendicular to the center of the earth, not perpendicular to the slope.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They're just lined up with gravity. And with my horse Vivaldi, in redoing his feet, I remember the first time we did the trim and we x-rayed and did the trim and then looked at it again. And he already started to shift his posture before we put on, you know, he went through a long period of having corrective shoes. But this, it's so simple and it's so obvious and it's amazing. Again, when you look at horses with these different eyes and you look around at high performance horses and how unstable they really are. And so this was, you know, and as a fancy trainer, it's like, wow, I'm striving to have my horses be as good as those wild bush ponies out on the ranch.
If only my horse could be a Prusaski horse.
Yeah.
It's so, you know, once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And once you have, you know, this very big aha about how really true this is, that gravity is not going to change. And it is the one thing that we all experience the same way in general. I mean, yes, our astrological charts might be slightly different because, you know, we're in a different part of the world or something like that. But I mean, it's still so basic. And it is also something we can also identify with because we too are dealing with gravity. And so when somebody shows us something that says, oh, wow, that's easy, you know, that is where we start thinking about it and experiencing those things or just even trying it on for some. Well, I mean, it's just like changing somebody's seat. It's like making sure their stirrup leather's in the right place so that they're, you know, their stirrup leather's vertical and they're sitting over their leg correctly instead of in a chair seat. What a difference. They're no longer bouncing against the horse's mouth. They were not behind the movement. All of these things about posture apply to every one of us. Lions and tigers and bears, too.
Oh,
I mean, everybody stands this way. And we need to be cognizant of that because if we try to fight with gravity, we're going to lose.
And I mean, it's so interesting. Like when you see something so commonly, your eyes adjust to it. So like all these pictures, like if you look, like I would go through horse magazines and all of like, drug companies showing pictures of horses to sell something. It's like the horses are standing, canted in, goat on a rock.
Right.
And it's like, it's so common, you think it's normal, but it is not.
Yeah. And goat on a rock, can you define goat on a rock?
Goat on a rock is having your front legs back slightly and your hind legs forward slightly. And the way that it happens in dogs, it happens in all animals if they have inappropriate information from their interface with the ground, their feet. So if they have a
Or
lot
from other, there's other
of,
places that are
right?
highly influential as well. But the feet are a really big thing
But
with our domestic animals.
the feet.
Well, I learned from Judith, teeth and feet, teeth and
Yep.
feet, teeth
Right.
and feet.
Right. And the fact is, if your dog's toenails are long or your horse's toes are long, there's a disproportionate length of toe in front of the center of rotation of their joint, of their coffin joint. They're going to have more leverage on their flexor tendon, which is telling them they're standing on a hill. They're standing,
They're
uphill.
standing up an imaginary hill.
And so they're leaning forward up this imaginary hill. They're not on an imaginary hill. And so they start to tip, and then they bring their hind legs forward, straightening their hind legs in extension, which makes them more apt to fix their patella upward. And it puts, a lot more stress and strain onto the backs of their legs, causing suspensory issues
Layers of compensation.
and very low plantar angles, all the things that everybody says, oh, my horse has this, my horse has that. He has squashed heels, he has his, he has frogs that are dropping between the branches of his shoes, and such like that in his hind feet. And well, he has weight line disease in front and he has narrow heels in front. And all of these things are because he's getting bad information from the ground surface.
And it's really hard to say which came first. I mean, they start having bad information and they start standing that way. And then standing that way is a negative feedback loop that exacerbates some of the structural damages that Judith was describing.
And almost every lameness problem that we deal with as veterinarians, almost every single one can be attributed to this particular posture.
The abnormal compensatory posture.
Yes, the abnormal compensatory posture of front legs back, hind legs forward. We can start from the bottom and go up from white line disease, navicular disease, low and high ring bone, carpal tunnel syndrome, elbow luxations. Jamming of facets in the neck, bicipital bursitis, the posture in the back that then results in kissing spines, go with the hind leg. You've got, low heels behind. You have chronic,
DSLD.
chronic suspensory desmitis, spavins, both bog and bone spavins, upward fixation of the patella, whorl bone disease, sacroiliac pain, low back pain, spasms in the glutes. All of them are caused by that posture. And it happened with you. We changed the horse's feet and his back didn't hurt. Almost, I mean, instantly took his shoes off, trimmed his feet, and his back was soft. And that then the other interventions that we have, the other areas of heavy innervation that affect balance, the most of the balance that we have is to try to not land on our faces, so we the upper cervical righting mechanisms are keeping your head from hitting the ground
And your eyes level.
and your eyes level in space occupy almost 90% of the whole input to the brain because you got to take care of your brain. So it's just it when you start seeing it and understanding it and realize and watching the compensations that an animal has in trying to do this and trying to keep himself safe. That is, it's really quite amazing. Now, there are other things that can, we talked about, hypothyroidism, we talk about, Cushing's, where we have problems with
Cortisol,
collagen, cortisol, but all of them are caused by stress. And what's the number one stress? Postural stress, because gravity's there all the time. And if you're interacting with it badly,
Another part of the postural picture that not everybody recognizes is that the mechanical posture that we've been describing, the goat on a rock, is a posture that is also associated with heightened sympathetic tone. So we know the sympathetic nervous system is an unconscious part of the nervous system that is involved with protecting you from danger. So people know it as fight or flight, but it's a little more complex than that. But when a horse's head is high, either from kind of having, the front legs back and their back is hollow and their head is high, or even from being fed in a stall with a hay net outside where they have to reach up to do that, what that does is it puts the body in an identical neural pattern to a fight or flight pose. Like, oh my God, there's a lion. And
Startle,
the
alert.
startle, the startle pose. And this is well documented in all vertebrates, human, dogs, cats, otherwise. And they can get stuck there. So when people talk about PTSD, they are in a heightened sympathetic tone at all times, which can make them hypervigilant, when we all know the hypervigilant horse, or shut down. And we all know the shutdown horses.
So there are two ways to deal with those kinds of stresses. One of them is to become hypervigilant. The other one is what we're taught, the shutdown horse is a horse who is disassociated. And that is something, that we, the school horse that nothing bothers him.
The
Or
bomb-proof horse.
the warm blood that comes from Europe just completely, and then sometime down the road turns into somebody that's not very nice.
And they can flip back and
They can
forth
flip
between
back
those
and forth
statements.
because of those things, because they're trying to protect their neural and neurohormonal regulation. Now, interestingly enough, there are so many other aspects of stress or not trusting your base of balance. Ever walk down the basement stairs without the light on and don't count the stairs and step on the step that isn't there? It's rather unnerving. And that's the word. It's unnerving. We do have a problem with we distrust the program we just used. And that can be a, if we continue to stack those things, we can have an animal that loses his trust in himself. And these are some horses, these are horses that quit jumping. These are horses that won't extend. These are horses that won't get on horse trailers.
Yeah, they're protecting themselves.
These are horses that won't go down a hill, or that have trouble getting on a horse trailer. So
The highest priority of the nervous system, Judith teaches everybody, is to protect the nervous system. That's going to take top priority over everything else.
and interestingly enough, there are other things in protecting the nervous system that it does. They protect, and this is what, as if you're an emergency medical, an EMT, what do? You establish the airway and then you stop bleeding, right? And these are the important ways to stay alive. And animals need to get oxygen and they need to be able to not bleed to death. And they need to be able to have things work. And when you have postures that stretch or irritate vasculature, neurology in the neck, or block lymphatics, and then you have horses that chronically have their legs swell or have anything. These are all things that then can influence very profoundly, can influence their emotional well-being, their ability, their knowledge about where their legs are, their movement, their symmetry of movement. How many horses have you known that have had a hind, one hind leg that stocks up more than the other? Why are their legs stocking up in the first place? And why are they not stocking up evenly? So there are so many things: lymphatic blockage, vascular blockage, neurologic blockage. I've had my horse adjusted and he's shod right and he's got his dentistry done and we'd get good people to do it. How come my horse isn't right? My horse isn't right because there are other very subtle things where the fascia hasn't been released, or there's a scar, or there's the stress associated with the previous stuff that set up a neurohormonal pattern, or a physiologic pattern, or ulcers, or
I think you're
all sorts
scaring
of
people,
things.
honey.
Yeah. But I mean, there's so many things. But the point is that there are lots of reasons why a horse won't get right. But
But we
you can
can get
start.
90% of it. If we can get 90% of it, the natural healing ability of an organism will take over.
Absolutely. And they will come around just as your horse did, happy horse, running around very quickly and get right. And that's where, The freedom to run around, freedom to have friends, freedom to have, proper food, and that's another whole bag, of proper food, and just to be able to be a horse is super important, and they heal themselves. And it's really exciting to be able to now make these things conscious for people.
And in the program that I do, I mean, I'm a horse trainer, but the base priority for everything I do is just to have a happy horse, that you have a horse that when you're not around is a happy, healthy, comfortable horse. And I really prioritize the baseline relaxation and to think about all the hours that your horse spends not with you if he's in a, if he's in a box where he can't experiment with his body and he's in a state that's creating stress in his nervous system just by how he's standing and dealing with the pressures of gravity, it becomes more and more, you can go down this road and feel like, oh my God, I can never, ride my horse. But I also feel like the way you ride can be rehabilitative, and then and they need to work together, because I'm sure you've met people who ride you can do a lot with your horse, but you can ride it in a way that creates the stress again. Or it can work together. And but I think, taking a good look at what you guys do and just observing your horse standing there at nature, and they don't lie. I mean, they're gonna go in the positions that they want to go in. And sometimes if you're there as a trainer all the time, you take your horse out and you're doing the posture exercises and all this, but you never really stop and look at them out in the pasture and really see what they're telling you. So
And I mean, a postural exercise, you're like doing something with the horse, but posture is an unconscious expression of the complex neuromusculoskeletal system. So they're not going to go say, hey, I think I'm going to go like do that exercise now out in the field because I love Karen and she's so much fun to be with.
I mean, I do have standard breeds that actually do it when they're getting tacked up by themselves. But I mean, the point is that they've been trained to do the trick. But the point is, though, all of the meridians are on the corners of our nail beds. All of the meridians and begin and end, the ting points are on the coronary band.
That's
They need,
acupuncture meridians.
I know, what did I say?
You said
Anyway,
meridians, but
well,
maybe some people don't
acupuncture
know.
meridians. Yes, they're all on the coronary bands and they are designed to have equal balance and pressure from their hooves, their weight on their hooves, and such that if they have an asymmetrical posture, they've unbalanced their acupuncture meridians. So their spleen may not work correctly, their stomach may not work correctly. And so when we think about balance, it's not an esoteric, thing. Even, I mean, emotional balance, spiritual balance, physiologic balance, mechanical balance, they're all really related. And they just are pretty simple. They have to do with gravity.
Everything is stuck together really well, we teach this to lots of people. I mean, vets, farriers, chiropractors, riders, and so forth. And like, what's great, I love our course because we have three instructors, and each has a different lens through looking at it. So I teach like the conceptual stuff. Judith obviously is the genius of practical, and Liz does the kinesthetic, where it's like, how can you, the rider, experience posture in a way that you can be neutral with gravity? And from my academic lens, I look at this system as we're looking at the structures, like, the different parts of the horse's body, the function, what are they doing in real time, and the control, what is the nervous system doing with them? And so I model that like a triangle, and you want an equilateral triangle where each side and its interaction with each other is functional. You don't want like, everything structure and function and then the nervous system takes the day off. You need everything to be working together. And so what we commonly see with horses who have chronic problems and aren't getting better is they have wonderful treatments on a very small area that has been the last compensation to come out. So, as Judith likes to say, the victim of the crime is the one who screams. So, let's say you take a horse who has coffin joint diffusion, and you inject that, and you say, well, he needs to have, 6 weeks off, and they stick him in a stall, and standing in the same posture that caused the inflammation in the coffin joint and shod the same way before they had this. So you've just created a more static situation where the horse really has no opportunity to find a different way to compensate better, to compensate closer to symmetry, to, find a way to improve their lot in life.
And it's a real problem that we don't evaluate what the ultimate cause of the problem is. We treat the victim of the crime instead of the criminal. And so when we can get back to the cause, yes, we many times might have to do a little bit of, cleaning up the mess and injecting a joint with, hyaluronic acid and putting some more lubricant in there and making it correct and giving the horse a little time off and getting 50 pounds off of him, which is always a good idea, maybe even 100 off of some of these horses. But the point is that if you get rid of the problem, if you get rid of the cause, the poor posture, the inappropriate posture, and if there are other mitigating or confounding factors, go find them. When the horse starts standing up, it gets better. I mean, we look at the story of Seabiscuit who pulled a suspensory like pretty darn badly. I mean, a career-ending injury for a racehorse. And he was then, taken out to the farm, and his jockey that loved him to bits, didn't have any money to shoe him, took his shoes off, and they went for trail rides. And lo and behold, the horse came back and was, raced at a higher class. So there are things that, and this is when we ask, why do some of them get better like that and some of them get worse? There are reasons. And this is where, I don't want anybody to ever think, that the universe hates them and that's why their horse is chronically lame,
It's not
because
bad
it
luck.
isn't bad luck. It's bad management. And we have to find that way to do it. And if we don't find the answer, gravity isn't going to change for any one horse. And so if the horse isn't right, we're not doing something right.
So, the management and, some of the things we've been talking about, it can be really hard, especially if you live in an urban area, to give horses the kind of management that's going to be the very best. Living with us is a compromise. I mean, that's basically what it means to be domesticated. It's like, okay, we're in this partnership, and like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to come in from the range because I can't go and find you each time I want to ride, and I'll put the food in front of you and I'll keep the lions away from you. But the compromise is that, if a horse, somebody wants to ride a horse, they've got a job, they work, 5 days a week. The horses need to live with the, near them so that they can get to the barn after work and ride. So those are the kind of compromises that seem innocuous at first. And horses are domestic animals, like rather than zebras, because horses are very tolerant. They're very resilient. And but are some horses, when there are enough things wrong, pile on that they lose that ability to compensate and then they decompensate.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, the good news is in all of this that there's people like you who are helping to unravel, all these multiple things, and you can look at the more holistic picture. And
We do our best.
yeah, well, someone's gotta be trying. And the postural rehabilitation and the team you put together, I mean, it's so, there's so much knowledge in there. And I took a really robust in-depth with a lot of live support, and now you've turned it into, yeah, it was a lot. And now you've turned that into a more accessible program for riders. So maybe you can talk a little bit about what you've done with that, because it's just so cool to see you getting the information out there in different ways and making it easier for people to learn some of this.
Well, we live in amazing times that we can do
Oh,
this.
yeah.
We are so blessed that we can get this information, which is so vital. And as you say, once you see it and you know it, you can't unsee it. You can't unknow it. And it's going to mean so much better welfare for horses. It's going to mean that the general public is going to start seeing this and start putting pressure on the different parts of a horse's environment and management that are so critical. We're going to need to see a little more turnout. We're going to need to see better farriery. We're going to need to see better diagnostics from veterinary medicine. We're going to need to see better dentistry. We're going to need to see better riding. We're going to need to
We
have,
need to demand it.
because this is the, these are the causes of these slow stacking deteriorations that can be a problem. And there's no judgment in this. We only know what we know. But the nice thing about this sort of pre-technique that is postural rehabilitation, our descriptive course about what we're looking for, what are the causes for these things, this is something that we can all learn. And then we can start providing those slight changes. And the horses are, again, so resilient. They're going to respond. Karen, let Karen talk about, Karen is the person who's put this together. I just do the work and, show up,
We just have her show up, and she can't open her mouth without sounding brilliant. So what we did
I'll agree
for
with
the
that.
what we did is we took the like the course for the horse professionals, like the veterinarians, farriers, trainers like yourselves. We've also had like barn managers and rescue managers and stuff. It's a very intense course, and it takes like 20 hours a week, and it takes over your life. And not everybody, I mean, like if you're a rider, but you want to know, but you're not going to spend that kind of time and money, and you don't get to write it off because it's not your profession and all that. So we made a course where we changed the language so it's accessible to riders. We're not doing medical speak, and we made it, more compact, so you don't have to know every single detail of every single thing. And this way, it's a lot more accessible. We put it into a course that's online, and you can take it at your own pace. So we took the live sessions that we recorded when we offered this course live, and we had added the recordings in so that you get to see me and Judith talking like we do now and answering people's questions. And you get to see the videos that explain about the feet and the teeth and the management and the neck and all that stuff. But it's there forever for you. You can take, two weeks and blast through it, or you can take 2 years, whatever you want. It's up to you. So we're really
Nice.
excited to offer this to riders because it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's going to change horses' lives. Wins
Yeah, I'm so happy you did that because the information is so important, and curating the information in a way that people can digest it is so important, and I'm so glad you guys took that little extra step that not everybody does. And you guys are so in depth and expert and whatever, and sometimes if it's goes over your head, it's not going to be used. So it's great that you
Well,
made that.
other things that we are offering with this is some exposure to Liz Reese's work
Right, the
in
Alexander one.
Alexander technique, which is postural management for people. Because we too need to live in the world with gravity and be able to do our jobs and ride our horses effectively. And I credit, PR, well, but having had Alexander lessons from many, many years and years and years ago, had Alexander lessons. And I credit the fact that I'm still practicing at 70 and able to get underneath foundered horses and shoe them and be able to get on a horse when I haven't ridden in months and months and months and not fall off. And don't, and you know, and not interfere with the poor thing.
So that's a really great point because, like, one of the things we're teaching the practitioners about why their own postural management, their own relationship with gravity is so important, is that when you yourself, the human, are imbalanced, you tend to push, pull, lean, and do all these other things, and the horse is taking care of you. So that's adding an extra layer of stress to the horse to take
Horse.
care of you because you don't have the stability you should. So we want all of the people working with horses to have their own internal stability so that they can be neutral and their horse will love them so much more when they're not pulling on them.
Right. And emotional stability is a heard thing.
Yeah.
And when we have subliminal, subconscious disturbances in our system like that, the animals feel it. That's why they're such fabulous therapy animals, is because they can read us like a book, and they can always tell when we're unbalanced.
Yeah.
But that imbalance can be so subtle and yet so profound. And once again, it's additive. When everything's really right, you know, we can flock like birds, you know, we can ride like be a centaur. We can have such lovely relationships with them. They don't want to be around somebody who's more unbalanced than they are.
You know, I think instability really puts up blocks between the people and the animals we want to connect with. And, you know, when we train practitioners to do the postural work on animals, it's not about anything we're doing to them. It's about creating a space where you can connect.
Where you can have relationship.
Isn't that what you want to be doing while you're riding? You want to be a centaur. You want to be so connected that there is a seamless nervous system that's all doing one thing, and you don't even have to think about it. I mean, that's why we ride. It's so joyful.
Exactly. And, you know, in the stuff that I do in training, it's always about like the circuit of energy, the river of energy flowing. And to, you know, I feel like my job is to like find the disharmonies and melt them away, like find the disharmony, melt it away, and just allow. And there's so, and then you already get so much just by, you know, allowing the body to do, you know, be comfortable. And then you can add stuff onto it. But the instability creating the nervous systems that are in sympathetic, and then, you know, that's just tension on tension. And we forget about it, right? Because if you're always in a posture of instability, you know, your brain just like, oh, that's normal. And you don't realize it until you feel the change. And I think having that Alexander technique is part of it, because then you can experience in your own body of like, oh,
how easy
you
is
know,
that?
and that's your own body, and you didn't even know it was there. And now it can, I think it can help people just go, oh yeah, now I can relate to my horse a little bit more. What are they going to feel when
right
they're able to be there?
Yeah.
So
I was so, you, the first thing you said when you started to speak was you were talking about, you know, the flow of energy and the ability for things to expand and do that kind, and that we can find the disharmonies of that where it's not flowing and circulating. Ultimately, this is the difference between us riding a mechanical horse,
yeah,
and riding another living being.
Yeah.
Is this energy that is life,
yeah,
that is this connection between, you know, the local brain and the non-local mind, sharing a mind that says, okay, you understand what I'm asking you to do. I think I understand what I'm asking you to do. And then you both try together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is truly the thing that, I mean, relationship.
Intimacy.
And yes, that's a beautiful word. Mm-hmm. This relationship is so profound. And when there are just the silliest little blocks to it that we can do something about,
yeah.
and they crave it. We crave it. They crave that. They would like to have that with their own kind. But if they have to live in a stall and aren't turned out with somebody, which we should be, I don't care how valuable they are. They should have friends that they can hang out with. The point is, this is what we live for.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say, gee, I did the best Piaf in the world 42 times when they're getting ready to, you know, put a horse to sleep. Or that, you know, on our own deathbed, we're not going to sit there and say, gee, I wish I'd worked more. We're going to say, I wish I had loved more. I wish I had had more intimate relationships. I wish I had told and, you know, worked with those people and animals differently. And this is where I think, you know, when we start recognizing that energy, because guess what? It's also a huge part of the therapy. It's
yeah.
a huge part of the rehabilitation, is this desire for this learning and expansive energy.
I was reminded as we're having this conversation, remember we have that Trump au ricochet quote, and I can't remember it exactly. I'm gonna have to look this up and send it to you, Karen. But it's this gorgeous quote about, when you're paying attention and then your practice becomes your joy. And it's like about riding, and but it's about everything.
It's a
It's a
quote about
beautiful
riding
quote.
specifically, but
Yeah.
it's really,
We
it's about
we used to start our live sessions with that quote.
Did you know that now there's an audio version of the Dressage Naturally book? This is the book that sparked a movement. It's called Dressage Naturally, Results in Harmony. It's read by me, but it isn't just a narrated version of the original text. I've added fresh commentary, new insights, behind-the-scenes stories, and I talk about how Dressage Naturally has evolved since the book first came out in 2007. I'm putting the audiobook in a podcast format, so if you love this Horse Training and Harmony podcast, and I think you do, I know you'll love the audiobook. Think of it as the book plus the conversations we would have over coffee at the barn. It has everything you love about audiobooks, with the intimacy and personality of a podcast. In addition to the full book content, you'll hear my updated perspectives on the evolution of Dressage Naturally, nuances I couldn't fully convey in print, expanded explanations to help you apply the concepts more easily, stories about the horses that helped me create the system, and personal insights about the creation of Dressage Naturally, and so much more. Now, the Dressage Naturally print book has illustrations and it comes with 3+ hours of companion video. So we made 2 options for you to get the audiobook. If you're a visual learner, you can get the audiobook plus commentary, plus companion videos, plus a PDF of the illustrations from the book. Plus, we'll give you a code to get the print book at 70% off. Or, if you already have the print book and video set, you can get just the audiobook plus the bonus commentary. Either way, you'll get a unique link to this private podcast, and then you can add it to your favorite podcast app where it'll live there forever. So it's not a subscription, it's a one-time purchase. So go to dressagenaturally.net/audiobook. I hope you're as excited about this as I am. You can go to dressagenaturally.net/audiobook, and I'll leave the link to that in the show notes also. All right, now back to the pod. It's so funny, Judith, when you were just saying, because I say the same thing to my students. I'm like, we don't go home at night thinking, yay, I got to use all my aids today and really made them do it. You go home and the thing that you tell people or that you glow about is like, oh my gosh, it's like I just thought it. That centaur.
Yeah,
And it's
and that's the intimacy. That's the connection
exactly.
of two
And
nervous systems.
it's what I always feel like that sort of stuff is available all the time, except for the stuff that's in the way. And when you were talking earlier about the lesions and the chiropractic instability, I think about that flow of energy and then I look for the rocks. It's like, where are the little rocks in the river that create this disturbance of the water? And so it just reminded me, like when you were talking about like the nervous system and where those EPM lesions are and where the I think about the where's the little rock in the river right there, and how do we pluck it out?
And luckily, even if there are rocks in the river is still perfect, and it's got so many opportunities to go and compensate in some ways and become whole again.
Yeah.
And that, the fact that your horse heals, your car doesn't, your horse heals, when it gets injured. And it gives you chance after chance after chance after chance
Yeah.
to do it again and learn more. Then it's for us to learn what gifts they bring.
It is. Well, I think we'll wrap it up on that very positive note. I'm so glad you guys brought it around to there from Karen saying, Judith, you're scaring people. And now being a,
There's,
it
it's
is. We
all
have to look at it.
balance.
We
There
have
is
to
the
look.
ball and balance.
Absolutely. Well, Thank you guys for taking the time out of at the end of the, I
Oh,
know
it's
we
always
had a
wonderful to
long
talk to
day.
you.
I know you have, and we talked about the posture rehabilitation course, and I know you have a free training that people can jump into.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounded really cool. I know one of the things you were talking about, like the main frustrations and how to identify unable versus unwilling. And I think like that alone is a really important subject. So I will include the link to that in the show notes so people can just jump on, get that free training, and then can get more information from there if they want to continue. Does that sound, anything else you wanted to say
That's
about
perfect.
that
And
webinar?
if there's anybody, yeah, so the free training, it's only about 20 minutes. It's not going to take too much of your time. And if there are professionals out there who see that and they say, yeah, I want the whole thing. I want the 20 hours a week taking over my life, just get in touch. We'll get you in touch with the other thing. That was what Karen did 2 years ago, and it was fun.
Yeah, awesome. I'll make sure that your contact is there, and they have that link down in the show notes. And thank you guys. It's just a pleasure. You are welcome back on the pod anytime. You are just bursting with something to share.
Bursting.
Burst bursting.
Always.
All right, thanks again.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.